Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarking@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins two lines from the top of Daf Chof Ches. Before we begin the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin where you see the Nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Tchunois, that means the characteristics of Rebbe Eliezer and Talmidei Hillel. We will see a description on this omit till the next Mishnah, a description of the great Tana Rebbe Eliezer, and a second Tanaic source you can see later before the Mishnah describing the students of Hillel Hazokin. The Gemara, and we should point out that the crown marking that we have here is a continuation of that which we started in our previous shiur. It's a second Maisa involving Rebbe Eliezer spending Shabbos in Golul HaElyon, the Upper Galilee. Maisa b'Rebbe Eliezer sheshavas b'Golul HaElyon, an incident involving Rebbe Eliezer who spent Shabbos in the Upper Galilee, v'shalul shloishim halochas b'ilchus sukkah, and they presented to him or asked of him 30 halochas regarding the mitzvah of sukkah. Shtei mesrei omar lohem shalmati, regarding 12 of them he says, I heard, I have a tradition, and I can answer your questions. Shmoinesa omar lohem lo shalmati, 18, however, he says, I don't have a tradition on it, I don't have an answer. Here we have a different version by way of numbers, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, and we use a squiggle underline often to mark a transition between two versions of something. So here, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, Chiluf Hadvarim, the opposite. Shmoino Sar Malem Shamati, 18, he says, I heard, I have a tradition from my Rebbe, and I have therefore I have an answer to your questions. Shteim Esrei Omar Lohem Lo Shamati, but regarding the other 12, I don't have a tradition on them. They asked him, they asked Rabbi Eliezer, called for Recha Einon Elo Mipi Ashmua, everything that you say is only from that which you received. In other words, you don't answer things based on what you personally think. It's everything is based on a tradition. Omar Lohem, so Rabbi Eliezer responded, he's Kaktuni Lomar Dovar Shelo Shamati Mipi Rabosai. His kaktuni now means you've now made me or required of me to tell you something that I did not hear from my teachers. And now Rabbi Eliezer goes on with a description of his own characteristics. He says, "Miyomai lo kidmani odu beveis hamedrash." In all my days, no one ever came before me to the beis medrash. I was always the first one in. And therefore, if anything was going to be said in the Beis Medrash by any Rabbonim, I would have heard it, because I was always the first one in. V'lo yoshanti Beis Medrash, and I never slept while in the Beis Medrash. Lo shinas keva v'lo shinas aroi, not a full-fledged sleep nor a nap either. V'lo hinachti odom b'Beis Medrash v'yotzosi, and I never went out of the Beis Medrash while someone was still in there. So if you just follow all of these things, you see that nothing could have escaped Rebbe Eliezer. And it was pointed out to me that Rebbe Eliezer is described in Maseches Ovos as a bor sid sheinu ma'abe tipo. He is someone that doesn't forget anything that he hears. He had a total recollection, absorption and recollection of that which he learned. So all his life, he was always there when Torah was being said. V'lo sachti sichas chulin, nor did I engage in idle speech. Rashi has a more elaborate description of this, but for our purposes, that's a more or less a literal translation. V'lo omarti dover shalom shamati mipi rabbi me'olam, nor did I ever say anything that I did not hear or receive from my teachers. That is Rabbi Lezer's response to them. Omru olav al Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And now we refer to Rabbi Lezer ben Zakkai, who is also featured in this Tanaic source, and you'll see descriptions of him that are very similar to that which we just saw of Rabbi Lezer. And needless to say, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Rebbe of Rabbi Elezer, and at the end of this source you can see we've dashed, underlined that point where it says V'chein hoya Rabbi Elezer talmido nohe gacharov. So now let's see what it says about Rabbi Elezer's teacher. Omru alav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai miyomav lo sach sichas chulin. He never engaged in idle speech. V'lo holach dalet amois v'lo yitero v'lo tefillin. Nor did he ever walk a distance of four amos without speaking, without saying divrei Torah, nor without tefillin. So he was always with tefillin on, of course, during the times that one is required to wear tefillin. V'lo kidmu adam, v'lo kidmoi adam bebeis ha-medrash. No one ever entered the beis medrash, the study hall, before he. V'lo yoshan bebeis ha-medrash. V'lo shinas keva, v'lo shinas aroi. Nor did he sleep in the beis medrash, any form of sleeping. V'lo hira b'mavuos ha-metunafos. Nor did he ever think. Here is to think in Torah, think Torah thoughts when he was in filthy alleyways, mevuos or alleyways, metunafos, that are filthy. In other words, Torah, even Torah thoughts, are thought in clean places, not in filthy places. Below, and by the way, that is a very great ability for someone who is so immersed in Torah learning to be able to have control over his mind, that when he's in an inappropriate place, to stop Torah thoughts and think about other matters that are of a more mundane nature. Because most people who are thoroughly immersed in particular topic matters, they can't control themselves and will think about those matters all the time. So this is quite an intellectual feat to be able to control one's mind as to when to think about that which he is so immersed in. We continue in the source. V'lo hiniach adam bebeis ha-medrash v'yotza. He never left the beis medrash, leaving someone else there. V'lo motzoi adam yoshev v'domeim. No one ever found Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sitting in silence, domeim in silence. Elo yoshev v'shoinen. Rather, he was always sitting and shona, learning Torah. V'lo posach adam delas l'tamidov. And no one ever opened the door for his students. Elohu ba'atzmo. He opened the door for his talmidim. V'lo omar davar shelo shama mipi rabbo l'olam. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai never said something that he did not have a tradition on, that he did not receive from his teachers. V'lo omar higia eis lamo b'beis ha-medrash. Nor would he ever announce that it's now time to leave the study hall, leave the Torah learning. In other words, he would never announce it's the end of the session. Chutz me'arvei psochim ve'arvei yom kippur, with the exception of Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, it was necessary for the people who were studying Torah to go back home to tend to their family matters, particularly to tend to their children, that they should maybe take a nap Erev Pesach so that they don't fall asleep during the Seder night. And Erev Yom Kippur, there's an obligation, a halachic obligation to eat on the 9th of Tishrei, the day before Yom Kippur itself. So that had to take place at home. V'chein hoya Rabbi Lezer tamido nohe gacharov. And the Tanaic source concludes telling us that thusly Rabbi Lezer behaved like his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Tanu Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic source, as we said before, focusing on the students of Hillel HaZaken. Shmoinim Taminim Hoyu Lo the Hillel HaZaken. Hillel had 80 students. Shloishimayim Ruyim Shetashre Aleim Shchino Kamoish Rabbeinu. 30 of those students were on such a lofty spiritual plane that they were deserving of having a divine presence upon them like Moshe Rabbeinu. Ushloishim mehen ruim shetamo lem chamo kyeshua ben nun. And 30 of them were fit to have the sun stand still in heaven. In other words, to have the laws of nature changed for them, like was the case of Yehoshua ben Nun, which is a story featured in Sefer Yehoshua, in the book of Joshua. Esrim Beinonim. There were 20 that were considered average. Godel Shebekulon, the greatest of them, and there's a Rabbeinu Gershom commentary found in Maseches Bava Basra Daf Kuf Lamed Daled, that when the Gemara here is saying the greatest of them, it's a reference to the 20 Beinonim. So the greatest of them was Yonason ben Uziel. He is famous for an Aramaic translation or commentary on the Nevi'im, on the Chumash and Nevi'im. Katan Shebekulon, the least of them, was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The individual that we featured in the previous source with such lofty practices, and yet he is considered the smallest of those 20 Beinonim. Omru Alav al Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, it was said regarding him. And there's a very long list of areas of study, of pursuit, which he was master of. And that it says, Shaliniach Mikro Mishno Gemara, he did not leave without understanding the written Torah, the Mishnayos, the Gemara. The Gemara is the analysis of the Mishnayos, that which we engage in, the study of that which the Amoroyim deal with. And of course, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was from the Tanaic period, so you'll ask, how can he know Gemara? The answer to that is very simple. That which is recorded in the Gemara was discussed in previous generations, and they reached their conclusions, and over the course of time, so it was forgotten, and it was recounted, and then later down committed to writing. But the content of the Gemara was part of the oral tradition that the Tanoim themselves engaged in. And what else? Halachas, the Agadois. He was familiar with halachas, as Rashi says. Those are oral traditions that we call halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, oral traditions from the time of the giving of the Torah. Rashi cites some examples of them that we've learned already, gud and lovu, doif and akuma, different issues of quantities. We continue in the Gemara, agados, that's what we call agadic literature, dikduke Torah. Rashi says, dikduke Torah, ribui oisiois, sheboin lidroish bohen ribui mi-utim, kagon ho-ezroch, lehotsianoshim. The Torah puts extra letters in certain words to serve as means of, let's say, excluding things or including things. The Dikduke Sofrim, Rashi says, this has to do with the rabbi's ability to analyze the nature of mankind, and after factoring that in, they thereby may add halachas as fences to ensure the observance of all of the Torah. Kalin v'chamurim, he was expert in that. Kalin v'chamurim is what we call learning things through kal v'chomer logic. This is something that a person can do on his own, even without an oral tradition. Ugzera Shavos, that has to do with word comparisons, that in order to make that, to do a word comparison, you have to have an oral tradition to compare two topics based on common words in the Torah. Tkufos has to do with the knowledge of celestial movement, particularly the sun and the moon, and that has to do with establishing awareness of when seasons come about, and as a result of that, to be able to intercalate the year, establish a calendar. The gematrios are numeral equivalencies of words and different letter interchanging that takes place to establish other halachas. Sichas Malachi Ashores, the discussion of angels. That's literal. Rashi says Lo Yodana Maihi, as well as the next thing, Vesichas Shadim, the talk of demons, Vesichas Dekolim, the talk of palm trees. These three things, Rashi says, Lo Yodana Maihi, I don't know what they are. Mesholos Kofsim and Mesholos Shualim. Mesholos are analogies that you find occasionally in the Shas, examples, stories, analogies, parables, in order to communicate a particular, let's say, to a point, especially in the realm of toichach, of chastising. It makes it much easier to chastise the public without direct confrontation, but rather by citing some type of parable. And that's what these Mishals, Kofsim literally are washmen, and Shualim are foxes. In Masechet Sanhedrin, you have a Moshal like that on Daf Lamed Tes, and Rashi cites that over here. Dovar Godol, the Dovar Kotten Rabbi Yochanan, that means the Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, was familiar with big matters and small matters. Dovar Godol, what is meant by that? Maisa Merkava. Literally, the understanding of the heavenly vision of what's called Maisa Merkava. It's found in Sefer Yechezkel, and there's also in Sefer Yeshaya, I believe, a reference to a Maisa Merkava. It's a heavenly vision without getting into any detail. Dover Katan, what's meant by a small matter? Havayas Davaya Varova. The questions that are raised in the Gemara, Havayas, it refers to questions that are raised by Abaya and Rava in the Gemara, so he was familiar with the questions and he was able to raise the question and provide answers. L'kayem ma shenemar, this description of such intellectual accomplishment is a fulfillment of that which it says, Lahamchil orva yesh v'otzroseim amalei. Ohavai, or those who love Hashem, let's say, benefit, receive, and their storehouses are going, and Hashem says He will fill their storehouses. If we have just described the smallest of the students as being so great, Godol Shebekulon Alachas Kama V'Kama, so the greatest of them, all the more so. Now, we saw their names. We saw Yonus and Benazil was the Godol Shebekulon, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the least of them. So we just described the least of them. What can be said about the greatest of them? Omru Alav al Yonus and Benazil was said concerning him, B'shal sheyoshiv oisik b'Torah, when he was sitting in the study of Torah, kol oif sheperech alav, birds that flew overhead over him, Niyad Nisraf, were instantly burnt. Now, why? What caused the birds flying over him to be burnt? So Rashi says, Shoyu Malachi Hashores Miskapsin Svivov Lishmoya Divrei Torah Mipiv. The service angels gathered around him to hear his Torah study. Look, this is obviously something that's very, very esoteric, very mystical, but in very simple terms, if one is allowed to even assign simple terms to this, and mind you, the Malachi Ashores were heavenly spiritual entities, and you would think that they would have access to Torah study in heaven, and they felt that what they were hearing from Yonus and Benazil justified their gathering to hear his Torah study. There is what to say about that. Let's continue with the Mishnah. Mi Shehoya Roshov Ruba Basuka. Now this Mishnah has information in it that we have seen already quite a bit earlier in the Masechta, but this is the Mishnah at its source. This refers to someone sitting in the sukkah. His table is in the house, or in his house, meaning it's essentially outside the sukkah. But here we're talking about a case of a sukkah that's built right up to the door of a house. So Mishoya Roshav Ruba Basukkah Vishulchonu Basocha Baya, someone whose head and torso was in the sukkah and his table was in the house. Beis Shammai Poisun Beis Hillel Machshirin. Beis Shammai says it's invalid, and Beis Hillel says it's okay. Omru Lohem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, who were lenient, they addressed Beis Shammai and said, Lo kach hoya maisa, was it not the following incident? Shehochu Ziknei Beis Shammai Vizikne Beis Hillel. The elders of these two schools of study, the house of Shammai and the house of the students of the elders of the Beis Hillel, Levakir, to visit as Rabbi Yochanan ben Hachoranis, they went to visit this individual, Matsu, and they found him, Shoye Yoshev Roshe Veruba Basuka Veshulchana Vesochabayas. He was sitting in this fashion, velo amru lo davar, and they said nothing. So does that not prove our point of view, says Beis Hillel? Amru lahem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai responded with a tone of wonderment. Misham raya. From there you are trying to bring proof. Af heim amru lo. Even in that incident, the sages told Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharanis, im keno yisonoyeg, if thusly you have been practicing all your life, lo kiyamtos mitzvah sukkah miyomecha, you've never fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. You can't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah like that. The Gemara will not deal with the Mishnah up till this point, because as we said, this was dealt with extensively earlier in the Masichta. However, as we continue, this part will be dealt with by our Gemara. Noshim vavodim utanim pturim min asukah. Women, slaves, and minors are exempt from the mitzvah of, or the obligation of eating in a sukkah, and of doing the mitzvah of sukkah, eating, sleeping in the sukkah. Katan sheino tzorach li'imo, a child that is no longer dependent on his mother, chayov besukkah. He is obligated, or it is obligated to see to it that he sits in a sukkah. That's what we call chinuch, or educational, for educational purposes, because we just got finished saying a moment ago that minors are not obligated, but if he has reached this level of development, of maturity, so he is to be in the sukkah for chinuch purposes, educational purposes. Maisa v'yolda kalosu shel Shammai hazaken. An incident took place where the daughter-in-law of the Shammai, the elder, the original famous Shammai, his daughter-in-law gave birth. So we're now talking about a grandchild born to Shammai. Upifes es hamaziva v'sikech al gabi hamita, and he broke through the roof of their house and put over that spot schach, over the cradle where the child slept, b'shvil katan, before this newborn. Before we get into the Gemara text itself, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading. The Gemara itself will be dealing with sources, noshim, b'sukkah, and b'yom kippur. We indicate in parentheses drashas ezrach, the word in the Torah that is found in the context of Yom Kippur, and in Sukkah you see the word Ezrach. Ezrach in modern Hebrew is a term referring to a citizen. In our case, it's a member of Klal Yisrael. But who specifically does Ezrach refer to? Does it refer to women, or maybe not? That will be discussed in the context of Sukkah and Yom Kippur. And we have a mivneh, a structural note, where you will see a diamond featured in the Gemara, Ezrach, Mashmoi Soisers Bavonas Amil Ezrach. What will appear are a seeming contradiction in the meaning, or the meaning of the word Ezrach, i.e., who does it refer to? So let's now turn to the Gemara, Minohani Mili. From where do we know that women are exempt? Exempt, we said, from mitzvah sukkah. So the Tanu Rabbanan, from where do you know that which was taught in the Mishnah? Before we go on in the Gemara, we look at the side. We have a pasuk that's written, Vayikra Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Membeis. The pasuk says, Basukas Teshvu Shivas Yomim Kol Ho Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshu Basukos. We're commanded to sit in the sukkah over to dwell in the sukkah over 7 days, and Kol Ho Ezrach B'Yisrael, all Ha Ezrach, are obligated. So you have the basic word Ezrach plus the letter He that appears in the Torah together with the word. So it says in the Torah, Ha Ezrach, He Ezrach. So the Gemara says, Ezrach Ze Ezrach. That is a reference to all people, Rashi says, all people born of Israel. Rashi that we just quoted is found on the first wide line, Ezra Havimashma Kol Todes Yisrael Anoshim V'Noshim. It seems to refer to men and women. So that's the basic word. Ezroch is an inclusive expression. Ha ezroch lahoitzi es hanashim. But by adding the hey, we thereby exclude the women. Kol, and the word kol also appeared, kol ha ezroch, lerabois es haktanim, to include the minors. Later, this will have to be explained. This is not clear. What do you mean, Larabbas is kind of, when the Mishnah said the Ketanim are not obligated? Here we're saying we're including the Ketanim as being obligated. Omar Mar. Then we quote what we just said. Ho Ezroch Lahoitzi Es Hanoshim. By adding the Hey, so the Hey is exclusionary. Lememra. This then leads us to conclude the Ezroch Bein Noshim Bein Gabri Mashma. That the word Ezroch itself is inclusive. V'atanya, but this raises a question from, we now raise a question from the topic of Yom Kippur. Ho ezroch, l'rabois es hanoshim, ho ezrochiois, shechayavois be'inui. So here you have the word with the hay, is coming to include the women, that they're obligated, and inui is the observance of the restrictions of Yom Kippur. So what does the hay do? The hay is marbe, is inclusive. What does this tell you about the basic word Ezroch? Almo, Ezroch, Gavri Mashas, the basic word Ezroch is referring to the male population. Compare the two diamonds. Before we said Ezroch is Bein Noshim Bein Gavri, and here we say Ezroch Gavri. That is contradictory. Omar Rabo. Rabo answers, Hilchisa Ninhu? Ve'asmechinu rabbonon akroi, and that means one of these two topics. We have Yom Kippur and we have Sukkah right now. One of the two topics is not derived from the implication of the word per se, but rather the halacha that we read is based on an oral tradition, and the word is simply a way that what the rabbonon do is they say that the oral tradition can be hinted to or reminded by this particular pasuk, but not that's the actual meaning of the pasuk. So what Rabbah tells us is one of the two sources is in fact not based on the actual meaning of the word. Of course, this raises the question of which one of these two halachas is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And which one of these halachas is actually learned from the word itself? Hey, kraw, which one is the actual meaning of the pasuk? The hey hilchasan, which one of these two halachas, sukkah versus Yom Kippur, is the oral tradition? That's one question. The su. And a second question, we should point out, by the way, that this piece of Gemara is a long question, and it takes you to the second line from the top of Omid Beis. So, and we have a second question. The Sukra Lomali, Hilchasa Lomali, what do I need all of these things for? What do I need a pasuk for? What do I need an oral tradition for? Ha Sukkah, the mitzvah of Sukkah is mitzvah saseh shazman groma. It's a positive time-bound mitzvah. The chol mitzvah saseh shazman groma noshim pturos, and it's known, and it's established in Maseches Kiddushin. Sources for this: that positive time-bound commandments, women are exempt from them. So to have a reference above that when dealing with sukkah, we say ha ezroch lahoitzias hanoshim. We don't need that at all. We know that based on other rules. Mitzvah saseh shazman groma noshim are exempt. Furthermore, the Yom HaKippurim, to say that women are obligated in Yom Kippur, I don't need this, the reference that we had before that Ho Ezroch is Mar Ben Noshim Ezrochios Midrav Yehuda Marav Nafka. There's another source for the obligation of women in observing the restrictions of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a negative command. In other words, it's commanding you to not eat, you know, not do malacha. And violation of Yom Kippur, one who, let's say, does eat on Yom Kippur, or he does malacha on, he does constructive activity on Kippur, he's chayav kores for that. So as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, the obligation of women to abide by the rules of Yom Kippur is learned from the teaching of Rav Yehuda Amarav, the Omar Rav Yehuda Amarav, v'chein tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. And likewise, it was taught in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, Omar Kra. The pasuk says, Ish o Isha. This is a pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Hey. And from that pasuk, we learn, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Hishva hakosuv Isha le'ish, the whole ancient Shabbat Torah. The Torah compares, equalizes men and women regarding all matters that are punishable in the Torah. And as we just mentioned before, Yom Kippur, the violation of Yom Kippur, carries with it a punishment of Kores. So I know that women are obligated in observing Yom Kippur from the Isha Pasuk. So we have a couple of questions, and now we have to account, we have to answer. As far as the markings are concerned, you can see that we've double underlined the names Abaye, and later you see Rava, and the triangle highlights the word Itzrich, and it was what I need this for. What do I need the sources for that we indicated earlier? Omar Abaye, le'olam sukkah hilchisa. The exemption of women from sukkah is the oral tradition. The itzderich, and I need to have an oral tradition exempting women. Even though women are already basically exempt because of it's a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, it's a positive mitzvah time element to it, I nevertheless need another source of exemption, and that's in the form of this oral tradition. Why? I would have thought without this oral tradition that sukkah would be an exception to the rule of mitzvah saseh shazman groma. Why? Teshvu ke'en toduru. The Torah, in obligating us to observe sukkah, it says that you shall dwell in the sukkah as you dwell at home. Ma diro ish v'ishto, just like in one's home, a man lives with his wife. Af sukkah ish v'ishto. I would have thought that sukkah demands the woman to be present to fulfill this aspect of teshvu. Komash malon, the oral tradition comes to tell us that even so, women are exempt. So that one will fulfill teshu kentaduru in all other aspects, his eating, his sleeping, vessels that he brings into the sukkah, his relaxing time, all that he's expected to do in the sukkah. That's a fulfillment of teshu kentaduru. However, as far as this aspect of having one's wife by his side, that the oral tradition tells us they are exempt. Rava Omar, Itzderich. I need the additional source. We say that the sukkah, the woman is exempt from sukkah, and we say that's based on the halacha lemoshe misinai. I need to be told that exemption, and that the oral tradition, or I should say the principle of mitzvah saseh shazman groma, is not enough to exempt the women. Why is it not enough to exempt the women? Salka daita chamina yolif chamishosor chamishosor mechag hamatzos. I would have thought that I do a comparison based on the fact that Sukkot as well as Pesach come out on the 15th, and the Torah says chamishosor, the 15th of the month, of their respective months. Tishrei is the month of Sukkot, and Nisan is the month of Pesach. So I would have thought we make a comparison, a gzeirah shava, between the two holidays. Ma lahalon, just like by matzah, by Pesach, and the obligation of eating matzah, even though that's a positive mitzvah that's time-bound, nevertheless, noshim chayavos. Women are obligated in the eating of matzah on Seder night, on Pesach night. Afkan, I would have thought, so by the same token, by sukkah, noshim chayavos, that women are obligated to be in the sukkah. Komash malon, the oral tradition comes to tell us that the women are exempt from sukkah. The hashtag the Amr Sukkah equals Hilchasa. Now that we've established that Sukkah, the laws governing Sukkah with regard to women, i.e. their exemption, is purely oral tradition. Kro Lomali, what does the Pasuk of Ha Ezroch, what is the role of Ha Ezroch? Answer, L'rabois es hagerim, to include converts, people converted to Judaism. So you might ask, well, what do I need a special scriptural reference to include them? The Torah says, Kolo Ezroch B'Yisrael. And since the word B'Yisrael appears, I would have thought, V'lo es hagerim, that that is exclusionary of converts. Komash Malon, therefore I need the Ha Ezroch word to include, let's say maybe as a countermeasure to what the word B'Yisrael would have included, would have possibly excluded. So at the end of the day, Ha Ezroch, the role of that word in the Torah is to include converts. Now we turn our attention to Yom Kippur. Yom HaKippurim, we asked before, as far as Ha Ezroch coming to include women in Yom Kippur, you don't need a pasuk to include women in Yom Kippur. Yom HaKippurim, Mida Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Nafka. Their obligation is learned from the pasuk Ish O Isha that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav darshaned, which we saw on the top line here, Hishva Kosev Isha Leish L'chol Shem Shabbat Torah. So what do I need Ha Ezroch by Yom Kippur to include women? The Gemara answers, Loi Nitzrecha Ela L'toysefes Inui. I need it for the rule concerning adding to the time of Inui. Inui is the mitzvah of Yom Kippur that demands restriction or restraint from eating, drinking, etc. So as far as the observance of that aspect of Yom Kippur, there is an understanding that one starts observing the Inui, the restriction, from a few moments before the actual onset of Yom Kippur itself. That's called Tosefes, adding, Tosefes Inui. So regarding that issue known as Tosefes Inui, Sa'kadei Techamina, I might have thought, Hoyol Umiyet Rachmona, the Tosefes Inui Me Oinesh Ume Azhora. Since we know that, let us say a person does eat something, he takes a drink during those minutes before the actual onset of Yom Kippur, is he punishable by Kores? Is he considered in violation of a negative command? Azhora is a negative command? The answer is no. The Torah is excludes Tosefes Inui from being punishable. In other words, there is an obligation to observe Tosefes Inui. However, if one violates it, he's not punishable. So we see Tosefes Inui is excluded from the basic rules of Yom Kippur. Well, once I see an exclusion, I would think no lo nischaivu noshim klal. Women are not obligated whatsoever in Tosefes Inui, being that it's a weaker area of Yom Kippur observance. It's excluded from Einshim. Maybe women are excluded altogether from observing Tosefes Inui. Komash Malon, the Ha Ezroch pasuk comes to include women in needing to observe the additional Inui time that we call Tosefes Inui. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, Katan Potur Misukkah, the exemption of minors from Sukkah. We have an arrow that directs you back to Omid Aleph, the lower part of the page. We saw a Tanaic source that said, Kol l'rabbis es haktanim. The Gemara continues. Omar mar, Kol l'rabbis es haktanim. It said, Kol ezroch b'Yisrael, yesh basukos. The word kol includes minors. It seems to say that minors are obligated to be in the sukkah. V'ha'atanan, but did we not learn in our Mishnah, noshim v'avonim uktanim p'turim in ha'sukkah, and we dash under my ktanim, says that that minors are exempt from sukkah. Lo kashya, there's no contradiction, no question here. Kan bekotan shigia lechinuch, kan bekotan shelo higia lechinuch. It depends on the age of the child, the maturity level. Kotan shigia lechinuch, a child who has reached educable age, he is included then in the mitzvah of Sukkah. That was what the Braisa said of Kol Rabbis HaSektanim. And our Mishnah that excluded, that exempted the Ketanim is Bekotan Shelo Higia L'Chinuch. He's a child that hasn't reached educable age. Question. Koton Shehigia L'Chinuch, a child that's reached educational age, Midrabbonanhu, he's obligated, but only on a rabbinic level. What do I need a pasuk? We said kol rabbis. Kol is a word from the Torah. Torah words include Torah level obligations, not something that's rabbinic. So the Gemara says you're right. Midrabbonan, the katan shigia lechinuch is obligated on a rabbinic level. Ukro asmachto bi'almahu. The pasuk is merely a reference point, but it's not an actual source. It's a reference point for the rabbinic teaching. Koton she'eino tzorach li'imoi v'chulei. We saw in the Mishnah that a koton, a minor who is no longer dependent on his mother, so he needs to be in the sukkah. Heichi domi koton she'eino tzorach li'imo. What is meant by that? Can you describe that? So the Gemara answers, Amri debe Rav Yanai, and from the yeshiva of Yanai, it was said, Kol shenifne ve'ein imo mekanchoso. He's a child that is able to relieve himself in the bathroom, and he doesn't need his mother to mekanchoso, to wipe him. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, Kol shenir mishnoso ve'eino kore imo. Anyone who wakes up from his sleep and does not call out Imo, mommy. The Gemara asks, Imo, gedolim namu kori. Even people that are not minors, when they wake up, they'll call out mom. Elo. So what does Reb Shimon Lokesh really mean? What is the minor that is no longer dependent? Call Shinemi, anyone who wakes up from sleep, the Eino Kore Imo Imo, and doesn't call out mommy in multiple times. Mommy, mommy, mommy. So if a child wakes up and maybe call his mother once, he doesn't rattle off a string of mommies, then he is that age of Koton She'eino Tzorach Limoi. Maisa v'yolda kalosai, we saw in the Mishnah in a story, and it said Shammai Azokim broke open the roof and covered that spot over the child, the infant's cradle, with schach. Whereas Maisa listar, does the Mishnah quote incidents, stories to contradict that which they said? The Mishnah itself just got finished saying, right, just before this, that a kotnet tzorach li'imo does not need the sukkah. He does not need to be in the sukkah. He's exempt. A newborn is the ultimate in tzorach li'imo. So why does the Mishnah present a story that indicates an obligation of sukkah for someone that the Mishnah just a moment before said doesn't need to be in the sukkah? The Gemara answers, Chisurei mechasra v'hochi katoni. The Mishnah, as it appears, is abbreviated, and thusly it should be understood. Ushamay machmir. True, Koton Shetzorch Limo is exempt from being in the sukkah, but Shammai had a self-imposed stringency. Umaisa Nami, and an incident also to bear this out, the Yolda Kaloso Shel Shammai Azokain, the daughter-in-law of Shammai, gave birth to his grandchild, Upicheses Amaziva, and he broke open the roof. The Shammai, of course, broke open the roof above the cradle, the Sikech Al Hamita Bishvil Koton, he put Schach over where the cradle was for the benefit of the child. So the markings emphasize the key word machmir. It's not basic law, it's a self-imposed stringency. So that's what he did. Kol shivas hayomim odom oise sukosoi keva ubeis haroi. For the 7 days of sukkahs, person is expected to have his main dwelling in the sukkah, and his house is only by chance. In other words, his main, the person's main place is the sukkah. Yordu gishamim, if there is rainfall while someone is in the sukkah, me'emasai mutter lifnos, from what point is he allowed to leave the sukkah? obviously one is not obligated to sit in the sukkah while it's raining down on his head. That's not a, that would not be in fulfillment of Teshu Ke'en Taduru. A person doesn't sit in his house with an open roof and rain falling on his head. So too, he's not expected to sit in the sukkah with rain falling on his head. But the question is, at what point does he have license to leaving? Answer, Misha Tisrach HaMikpeh. Mikveh is a type of food item. Maybe it's a, maybe it'd be a type of porridge. And water that mixes into this porridge ruins the food. So when this mikveh becomes ruined by its being diluted by the rainwater, that's the time that you know you can leave. Moshlu Moshal, a parable was given regarding a person sitting in the sukkah with rain coming on him. L'maha dover d'omer, what is this comparable to? The eved shemoza shebolim zo kois l'raboy, a servant who came to fill a cup of beverage for his master. V'shofach lo kiton alponov, and he spilt the flask on his face. He spilt the receptacle of liquid on his face. We used pronouns, and that makes it vague, and that in fact will be something the Gemara will pay attention to, will try to define. On the side of the Gemara under our topic heading, we've written Teshvu Kein Toduru, the need to dwell in the sukkah in a, as you would in your home. Limud B'sukkah will deal with learning Torah in the sukkah, and Klei Achila B'sukkah, and vessels, eating vessels, food vessels in the sukkah, plates, dishes, pots, etc. For all 7 days, a person is expected to dwell in his sukkah in a fixed, permanent fashion, and his house only by chance or by happenstance. Ketzad, hoyu lo kelim noim. How are we to understand what it means to be sukkasoy keva? So if a person had kelim noim, nice wares, vessels, malu l'sukkah, he was to bring them into the sukkah. It's like fine china, silver vessels, bring them into the sukkah. Matzois nois, nice bedding, malu l'sukkah, bring them up into the sukkah. Oichel v'sheisu, metal b'sukkah, eating, drinking, and strolling in the sukkah. Mino hani mili. From where do we know this from the Torah? Mino hani mili de tono rabbanan. From where do we know this teaching from the Torah? So the Gemara answers, Teshvu, that's a quote from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, that you're supposed to dwell in the sukkah for 7 days. In fact, we saw the Pasuk said, in Vayukra Perichov Gimel Pasuk Membeis, Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yomim. And Teshvu means Ke'ein Toduru, as you dwell in your house. Mikan Omru, from here it has been said, Kol Shivas Hayomim Oisodem Sukkoso Kevel Beisaroi. All 7 days his sukkah is permanent, and his house is only momentary. Ketzad, how is this accomplished? Toyulu Kelim Noyim, Malon L'Sukkah. Matzos Nois, Malon L'Sukkah. Oichel V'Shoisu Matal B'Sukkah. All this we translated just before. And this is a new point. U'meshanein B'Sukkah. Meshanein has to do with Torah learning in the sukkah. Rashi on this says, U'meshanein B'Sukkah, third line under the Gemara text. Rashi says, Sover Limudo U'mechatchoi Alburio. A person thinks about the Torah, and he breaks it down into its component parts for clarity purposes, lamod olav, in order to establish clarity. Tahainu shmeitzah demoroi usvora sholtamei emishno brisa. This is what we refer to as that which the Amoroyim discuss, that offer reasons behind the Mishnayos and the Brises, the offer reasons behind the Tanaic literature. Ma tam ze chayv ze poter ze osur ve ze mutter. Why is something obligated, and why is this exempt? Why is this forbidden? Why is this allowed? All the depth, the reasons behind things, that is what the Gemara thinks is encapsulated in the word Mishanein. Mishanein, and that process, that thought process of Torah learning is to be done in the sukkah. The Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? V'omar Rava Mikra u'misna b'metalolosa u'tenuye barmi metalolosa. The areas of Torah learning that aren't that deep and demanding, for example, Mikra, the study of psukim, and the study of Mishnayos, the basic text of the Mishnayos. That is what one does bimitals in the sukkah. Utnuye, however, tnuye, that's what we are understanding right now to be the shas. That's the svora, the analysis, and that the Amoraic discussions that delve into the Mishnayos. That is a matter that requires more application, more intensity of study. So that is done outside the sukkah, if he should so desire. Rashi says, Bar mitalosa im yirtze, if he should so desire, demitztairu, because he needs a certain type of environment in order to delve into things intellectually. Umitztair poter min hasukkah, and he feels constrained and under and suffering and pained by being in the sukkah while doing this. For avir yofel laharchiv daito, in the greater space, the sukkah is generally speaking more squalid, more closed, confined location. But a person needs air, a spacious area for this. Kosalka daite tenuye hainu mishan. At this point, the thinking is the word tenuye that Rava says outside the sukkah is the same thing as the word mishanein that we saw before in the line before in the Tanaic source that said it has to be done in the sukkah. So if mishanein and tenuye are one and the same, we have a problem. How can Rava say that tenuye is done outside the sukkah when the Tanaic source says it's supposed to be done in the sukkah? The Gemara says lo kashya. There isn't any question here. When you're dealing with analysis and depth, there are actually two levels. Ha b'migras, ha b'iyuni. Rashi. Rashi is a second line from the bottom. Klomar, trei, gavni, shinun, havu. There are two kinds of, we'll call this, learning on an analytical level. There's l'migras gemora habrulo kvar. There's the review of matters that are already clear to you. Finding shmaitza, Tzorach Sukkah, Vahinu Mishanim. This is, we'll call this areas of analysis that you've learned in the past, and you've achieved clarity, and you want to review and solidify that which you already knew, albeit it's in the realm of the analytical knowledge, but you know it already, and you want to go over it. That needs to be done in the Sukkah. Then there's Yuni. Rashi says the Yuni would be the first stage of the analysis. That's bar mimetalalosa. That you need space for that. The Gemara continues at the top of Chof Tesom and Aleph, Kiha, the Rava Varami Bar Chama, and this was the practice of these two Rabbonim, Rava and Rami Bar Chama, Kiavu Kaimi Mekami the Rav Chisda, when they got up from listening to Rav Chisda's Torah lecture, Mirati Begemora Bahadi Hadodi, they would run through the analysis that they heard from Rav Chisda, the Hodar Ma'aini Besvara, and then analyze it further on their own. So that you see, after hearing analysis, you have these two levels. There's just getting down the basic information that you heard to run through and go over it, and then after that, further analysis that you do, that you initiate, and as we said, that further in self-initiated analysis, that would be something that one has a license to do outside the sukkah if he feels that he needs the air. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.